and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Rockin' Wrestling Podcast, rockinwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. That's our website. My name is Tyler Black. I'm your host. I'm joined not by our usual co-host of Big Nigga Jim, but my good friend, a good brother, Rick. What's going on?
What's up, guys? This is Rick Fincham, a.k.a. Rick E. Hustle. Everybody needs to get married, of course. Coming to you from the sunny Orlando, even though it rains every day here. And fighting originally from D.C., so that's what's up.
Yeah. He's famous for selling rocks in the streets of D.C., like everyone in D.C. is famous for doing.
Very, very crack. Yeah. You know what it is.
So how have you been, Rick?
I'm good. I'm good. Excited to talk some wrestling. Just got that new Nitro DVD, Volume 3. Never get enough of DDP and his yoga and all that stuff. So
hell yeah. I got Volume 2. I don't have Volume 1 or 3.
How random. Why just 2?
Because it was at Target, mismarked for like $6 when it came out. So I bought it before they fixed it.
Gotcha. Well, they're all relatively the same. Yeah. There's only so many great matches after the Finger Poke of Doom. So, you know.
Yeah, I was looking at the match listing. It didn't seem very, very whelming.
It's not. I realize I was sitting there watching it with a friend the other day, and all I could think of is she points out that three, because they're all NWO matches. She's like, she never watched the NWO days. She goes, was there ever a clean finish? I was like, I guess not, because 20 of the matches, probably 15 of them were DQs.
Conan just tweeted me.
Oh.
Yeah, that was random, talking about WCW.
And by Conan, you mean Max Moon.
Yeah.
I only recognize him as Max Moon.
K Diggity Dog. But yeah, so we had a big weekend of wrestling. So a total of 4-hour SummerSlam, 3-hour Raw, 2-hour NXT. So 9 hours of wrestling in the last 3 days. An insane amount of pro wrestling over the course of a weekend. So... let's run through these cards. You didn't watch NXT, so what's up with that? Why are you not watching NXT like
I love NXT? That was one day, you know, when you're at work for 12 hours, you don't always get a chance to catch up on that. Love NXT. Love that Owens is, you know, up on the roster. I do like to flip by and see what's going on with Owens. I hate that Zayn is gone. I keep up, though, when I can.
Yeah, hopefully Zayn will be back soon. My dream is that Zayn comes back at like Royal Rumble and like pucks with Kevin Owens and leads into a WrestleMania match between the two of them. But that's just my hopeful, wishful thinking.
I'm sure at that point Kevin Owens will be in the Zack Ryder position. I'm sure they'll kill that push, so that might be too far down the line.
He's too good to be in the Zack Ryder position. But let's talk about NXT TakeOver. So it was live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And so it started out Triple H introducing the show by being in the middle of the ring with the lights turned off and lets lights come up and shows how big the crowd is. Really awesome visual. He says, the future is now. Then we go into our opening match of Tyler Breeze.
That really awesome audio I hear. Benoit chants galore. Heard about that.
I didn't hear any Benoit chants.
Yeah, I guess he told the crew what I read was that he believed that they wanted to do a shot where only he was in the ring and that nobody was in the arena is what I understood. And that he believed that everybody would be quite out of respect for him and the situation. Apparently he doesn't know wrestling fans very well, nor does he know Brooklyn very well. And he got those Benoit chants and had to tell somebody to quiet down that it wasn't funny. So
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out. But anyway, matches.
But so we start out with Tyler Breeze and Jushin Thunder Liger, a 50-year-old Jushin Thunder Liger. Tyler Breeze had this epic entrance where he had like models come out dressed like New York skyscrapers, like the Chrysler Building, Empire State Building, and the Statue of Liberty. Came out with a furry selfie stick, took pictures with them, dressed in like his full Egypt gear and shit. It was dope because his seasonal residence right now is Cairo, Egypt. So he came out with an Egyptian motif. It was dope. And so Liger comes out. They have an incredible match. It was very short. I wanted a little bit more, like that Liger-Jay Lethal match, that Liger-Adam Cole match. When Liger wants to have his big matches, he can do it, even at his old age. But they had a good little match. Liger put out a flip dive on the outside. That was fucking sick. And hit a palm strike and a Liger bomb and got the pin.
Liger, I'd still rather watch him than probably half the guys in the company these days. I mean, God's a certified legend. If Flair wasn't retired, they'd still be dancing him out there. Sting's, what, 55? He's still wrestling. Taker, and we'll get to that, obviously, with the Lesnar match. I imagine Liger can put up just as good a fight as any of those guys I just mentioned. That's part of his career.
And all the coolest thing about Liger is that he wears a full bodysuit and a mask, so you can't tell how old he is. You can say he's like 20 or a brand new person. No one would ever know.
We might be on the fifth Liger by now, you know. Who are you fucking with, right? I will say, you mentioned Tyler Breeze. I can only hope that Tyler Breeze does for the selfie stick what Jim Cornette did for the tennis racket. I can only hope he has a long and illustrious career with that damn thing.
So also, they showed, sitting ringside, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac.
I assume they don't serve beer at NXT.
they do, but what I heard was that they would have people come in, sit at the front row, and then leave after they do their on-camera. I'm pretty sure they're hanging out in the back with Triple H anyway.
Gotcha.
We had a video package for Nia Jax. You know who Nia Jax is?
I know the name.
That is The Rock's cousin. That's
another Samoan. So I guess eventually there'll be a push to the top, and it'll get killed off, right? Just like Roman Reigns. when that person goes over on someone, you know, who's the better wrestler, more deserving, but neither here nor there. So anyways.
We did just have like three bitches get called up to the main roster, so we need new hoes in NXT. So it's for the better.
Hoes.
Yeah.
Out of NXT.
So next up we had the Dubstep Boys, Blake and Murphy, defending their tag titles against the Vaudevillains.
Love the Vaudevillains. It sounds like a gimmick out of WCW Saturday Night. Every time I watch those guys, I could only think they would have ran through Mean Mike, Tough Tom, Disorderly Conduct, you know, Robbie Rage and Kenny Chaos back in the day.
High Voltage, yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's complete. I guess High Voltage gets mentioned, but anyways.
So, what's her name? Alexa Bliss. She goes to slap the Vaudevillains, and then they're like, hold on, Alexa Bliss, we have someone to deal with you. And Blue Pants comes out, friend of the show, Blue Pants. The fans go nuts.
And, go download it, by the way. I listened to it the other day, everybody. Check that out. Great interview. Great interview where really no wrestling is mentioned, but super entertaining.
I think we dropped some wrestling stuff in there somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm just plugging you.
But, so we got new tag champs. Vaudevillains won with the Whirly Dervish. Blue Pants able to thwart Alexa Bliss's attempt to interfere. Very awesome. Very exciting. Very long, slow match, but it was what it was. The Blake and Murphy aren't that good of a tag team, so we got good tag champs now. So awesome.
I'm disappointed. I like the Vaudevillains. Those are my guys.
You said you're disappointed?
I am. I'm a Vaudevillains guy.
Well, no, they won. The Vaudevillains won the titles. Yeah.
Oh, I just heard on one. Maybe I was thinking about when they get to the top, they'll get killed off like the Ascension.
Yeah. No tag teams make it to the main roster and survive. It's yeah. Look at the Lucha Dragons.
Yeah. Look at them.
So Apollo Crews makes his debut against Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10. Typical debut match. Apollo Crews on with a gorilla press into a moonsault splash. That was really cool.
Squash match?
Yep, squash match. Well, it wasn't a squash match because Ty Dillinger got heat on him. But I'm just trying to blaze through this review since you haven't seen it, so you wouldn't have too much input on it. But next we have William Regal announcing a giant tag team tournament called Dusty Rhodes Classic that will start on a September 2nd episode of NXT. And culminate at the next TakeOver special, which is October 7th.
Okay. That should be exciting.
Yeah, they haven't announced any teams yet, but they said there's going to be a lot of people who were in NXT and currently in NXT and new people.
I'm just excited about tag team wrestling in general.
Yeah.
So anything that they'll give me with a tag team, that's great news.
Mm-hmm. Who did they used to have a tag team tournament for before? Was it Pillman? No, it wasn't Pillman. It was something before that.
Yeah, didn't they like an invitational or something back in the day? They called it like the tag team invitational.
Yeah. And it would have like all kind of like they would have like WWF people and WCW people on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin. Really good match because Samoa Joe in there doing all his Joe stuff and he chokes out Baron Corbin for the win.
Yeah, Joe goes over, of course. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him by the time he gets to the main roster. Yeah. I feel like by the time he gets up there, they'll maybe have him run through some people for the first month or two, and then he's going to get buried.
That's what they do to everybody.
That's what they do to everybody. I apparently have seen WWE once in the last decade.
Yeah.
They'll have him job out to Santino Marella on his however many run or something like that. It'd be a comedy act by his third month there.
I couldn't see that happening, but I could see him being just a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of just guys on that show. But next up, we have Sasha Banks defending the women's title against Bayley. This is a must-see match. So after I'm done recording this show, I want you to go and watch this match, because this match was fucking incredible. These bitches went all out. Sasha worked over Bayley's injured hand, stomped on her hand a few times while she had her in the bank statement.
Yeah, she won't be giving hugs anytime soon.
So also, Bayley actually had Sasha in the ropes, grabbed her by a foot, pulled her up, and caught her in the belly to Bayley. Pins her, gets a kick out. They brawl for a while, fucking reverse hurricanrana off the top rope, and then a belly to belly, and gets the 1-2-3. Everybody's going nuts. Charlotte and Becky come out. They all do a curtain call hug, throw up the four fingers for the four horsewomen, and it was just fucking incredible. Everybody's crying. It was dope. Watch that match.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, Sasha Banks, she's getting a great reaction from the fans. I mean, even tonight, we can get to that, you know, in Brooklyn for Raw, you know, when they had the whole Divas match, you know, they were chanting for Sasha to be there, so.
And she wasn't there.
I don't understand why, but.
Yeah. Sasha's my favorite anyway, out of all of them.
Really, I'm a Paige guy. I'd say Paige is my favorite.
Okay. I think Sasha's awesome. She won Woman of the Year last year in the Rock and Wrestling Awards.
Oh. Very good, in fact.
So Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens in a ladder match for the NXT Championship.
I can only imagine.
It's exactly what you would imagine. Lots of slams into ladders, not so much dives, but there was a big double foot stump off the top of the ladder. So awesome. Finn goes up, grabs his belt, retains. I recommend watching this also after you watch the Bayley Sasha Banks match.
I'm watching the whole thing. Like I said, I don't know where you found the 10 hours this week to watch all three, but I was definitely.
I think you're covering your microphone because I can barely hear you.
Barely hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
All right. But Balor, anything that guy does, every match, the guy constantly tops himself. I mean, he's everything that the WWE should be pushing in terms of athleticism. When you look at a guy like Rollins, and the guy's made it on sheer athleticism. I mean, Balor should be huge by the time he gets to Raw.
Yeah, Finn's pretty dope. I've been a fan of Finn since New Japan, so he's the man.
Sir.
That's money. So next up, let's talk about SummerSlam. What did you think of SummerSlam as a whole, and then we'll go through match by match.
All right. As a whole, SummerSlam, I feel like the hype behind, you know, Taker and Lesnar is what they pushed, and I don't know about the rest of the fans, but for me, I didn't desire this match as much as I guess everybody else is to start for Undertaker. I don't know if you really want to get into the finish, or we can work up, you know, to the finish since we're going match by match here.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get to the
SummerSlam, while it was, you know, a good show, and you knew what you were going to get. You knew you were going to get your championship match, your Cena and Rollins. You knew you were going to get Undertaker and Lesnar, which is what everybody's tuning in for. I could have done without Jon Stewart. I could have done without, you know, that angle. So to me, it was a good show. It's worth watching, but it was nothing, you know, special by SummerSlam standards.
I actually thought it was a really good show, to be honest. I don't know if I like this or Mania more in terms of WWE pay-per-views this year. It definitely wasn't as exciting as the NXT show, but I think that's mostly because like NXT is more fresh and the crowd is much hotter for NXT because it's a hot product. But in terms of just a quality wrestling show, I think this is probably one of the best shows that WWE's done this year.
I'll take Survivor Series ahead of SummerSlam from last year with Sting obviously showing up, but
I didn't think the show was that good.
maybe I'm just still the 11-year-old in me that doesn't understand wrestling, that loved WCW so much, just totally forgot about the other six matches on the card. I'm so excited to see Sting.
The Dean Ambrose Bray Wyatt match with no finish. because it was the first free month that they did, so they had to do like non-finishes and try to get people to buy the show that costs money. Not every month is free. So SummerSlam starts out with Jon Stewart coming out, saying he wants to confront Brock Lesnar and calls out Mick Foley as his backup. They do some comedy. It's pretty entertaining because I love Mick Foley. And then they start the show.
Did you find it kind of funny, or did you think that they were kind of hamming it up?
Both. They were hamming it up, but I thought it was funny. The fact that Mick Foley brought up The Rock and the fans are chanting Rocky made me think The Rock was going to be there because of all those rumors that Roman threw out on the radio. So I was assuming that we might get The Rock, but no. I was a little disappointed.
Really? You seem like you'd be one of the guys that kind of got tired of The Rock showing up and taking spots from the younger guys. Since you're one of the few people that actually enjoy wrestling.
No,
you're
still a huge I love The Rock,
I like heel Rock. I could do without babyface Rock. If heel Rock wants to show up and, you know, and everybody wants to chant "Die Rocky, die," like, that will work for me. But obviously, with all of his great, you know, movies, I guess that's not going to happen at this point.
Yeah. So Randy Orton versus Sheamus started the show, the match that no one wanted to see, especially after an epic NXT show. So the fans were not into this. By the end, it was a decent little match. Randy Orton caught Sheamus with an RKO after a battering ram attempt.
That's what picked up for me, because I wasn't that excited about the match, and I sat through it like most fans. And after the battering ram RKO, the match definitely picked up on the last little bit there.
Sheamus hit two bro kicks and got the win. It was okay.
I guess they got to make him strong to cash in at some point, or at least make me believe that he's going to cash in anytime in the next couple months and have a shot.
Well, usually you win for a while, then you lose every match, and then you cash in and win.
Right?
That's the pattern. Yeah.
You don't always win. Look at Sandow.
Yeah.
Which happened here in Orlando, and his career's never been the same since.
I hope Sheamus doesn't win the title. I hate Sheamus. Sheamus and Randy Orton both are like fucking Ambien to me. If like they're on my TV, I will fall asleep.
I can understand that. I think Orton was great, you know, until about 5 years ago. He was great as a heel. And then when they turned him babyface a couple times, I just couldn't go back to liking him by the time he was a heel. And the feud with Cena got so old, I think I got to the point that I hated
him.
Which one? It seemed like it just went on for 2 or 3 years, so I couldn't even tell you where one started and the next stopped. But that's still when Edge was in there, and they were going back and forth. It was either Cena and Edge, and it was Cena and Orton.
I remember 2009, like, every pay-per-view main event had a combination of John Cena, Randy Orton, and Triple H.
Yeah, okay.
It was ridiculous.
As far as Sheamus, I think because of his accent, maybe, you know, if there were more shows in Europe and stuff, I don't find him as a tall, redheaded man to be that frightening. Plus, I've met him, and he's a super nice guy. I don't know. I don't believe him as a person that I would be afraid of. Once he starts talking, I'm not afraid of him.
And it's just more all his matches are the same. It's just I've seen it enough. And I could live my life without seeing another Sheamus match. But let's talk about something awesome. Let's talk about the New Day.
Love the New Day. I was so excited for them to win. Plus, they come out and they do the rendition. Of course, Brooklyn, the home of Jay-Z from Brooklyn's Marcy Projects. And they do Jay-Z's Welcome to New York and, of course, change the words to make it about them. That got a great reaction. As a white kid growing up in the burbs, my favorite artist of all time is Jay-Z. So I can definitely appreciate the homage and the humor behind that. They're great.
Yeah, and a Kofi skipping clap is the greatest thing in the world.
Yes, that clap seems to get a pretty good reaction from everybody.
So it was the primetime players defending their tag titles against the New Day, Los Matadores, and the Lucha Dragons. This was a crazy clusterfuck of a match, but it was really exciting.
Anybody think the Lucha Dragons are, had a shot at winning? Did anybody in the world have either of those teams winning?
I don't think anybody had anyone other than New Day winning, because New Day is the best.
Yes, they are. It's a shame, you know, as an African-American yourself, that, you know, that those teams don't get more credit than what they do, and that the other black team had to lose for them to win. But yeah, they're extremely entertaining. I love the primetime players as well, especially when they come out and they do the lean and you see all the fans getting into it too. That's always good for
New Day's the best. They were dressed like the White Power Ranger, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So Collins, right?
Yeah. The story of the weekend was if you wear white and gold, you win a title because Bayley wore white and gold, New Day wore white and gold, and Rollins wore white and gold.
I can't wait to see Wiz Khalifa doing white and gold next time he's on Raw. Stone's fucked.
I hope Wiz Khalifa never shows up on Raw again. That was a terrible experience for me.
Yeah. That's being stripped or just
he's just a terrible rapper. He is not a rapist.
Yeah, you could be pretty baked and be on their rap. Snoop Dogg will show you that. But
Snoop Dogg's an awesome rapist, though. Like, Wiz Khalifa is not a good rapist.
Yeah, rapist. I like your wordplay there.
Yeah. He's bad at it.
But getting back to Kofi and them, winning the belts back for the second time, I find all their antics extremely amusing, especially the shit that Xavier Woods, I'll still want to call him Consequences Creed, as he stands outside the ring and chants every time Big E hits a big move is beyond funny to me. But yeah, by the time that they actually won the match, the way Kofi was jumping around on that mat was out of this world ridiculous. But am I the only person that finds Big E's dancing to be somewhat homoerotic? I think that was a little bit unsettling by the time they were all dancing.
I think it's homo-amazing.
Big E's dancing
is dope.
Yeah, he was doing like a Magic Mike routine. I almost had to like look away. I don't know if that's called Magic Daryl or something like that, but it was unsettling, buddy. It was unsettling.
Magic Daryl? That's fucking racist.
I don't know.
So Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev in a match that I could care so much less about.
Yeah, and then what do they make us do even less to care about it? A double countout? When the fuck was the last time that we needed a double count on a pay-per-view? Nobody pays for pay-per-views and they include them for free every other month now.
I thought it was a fuck-up. It looked like he was trying to get back in the ring. I mean, it looked like he was supposed to get back in the ring, but he didn't because he actually got in the ring. It was weird. I don't know. It was just dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. I think they were definitely all in on it. But, yeah, I don't understand why we're still supposed to care about the Ziggler-Rusev, dynamic. Rusev doesn't look as strong. Ziggler just seems to be, treading water, even though I heard he just resigned. But I would think, a feud like this is exactly why he was hinting at leaving.
Yeah. I would rather him leave.
I would rather too.
Yeah, Rusev is awesome, and Ziggler's dragging him down.
I don't know who's dragging who down. Both of them I liked a lot more a year ago.
Yeah. All right, so my nigga Stephen Amell, the Green Arrow, teams up with Neville against Wade Barrett and Stardust. This match is pretty exciting because Arrow's the shit, and it was good to see Stephen Amell back on TV since it's been like 8 months since Arrow's been off the air. So he did some cool spots like springboards into the ring, leapfrogs and hip tosses. Got most of the heat, hot tag to Neville. Stephen Amell actually did a dive to the outside onto Stardust. That was fucking crazy.
That part, it looked like he was a little bit afraid. I thought I was going to do something more than that. And it looked like he kind of turned as he flew outside the ring. I wasn't sure how he was going to land on that one.
I don't think people are usually aware of how shaky the ropes are when you're on top of them. So that's probably mostly what it was. He's trying to keep his balance and then dive. But Neville hit the red arrow on Barrett and got the win. Boom. Next match, Big Show, Ryback, and Miz for the IC title. Everybody's bathroom break match.
Yeah. I will say, as you called Orton and Sheamus ambient, I would say if I had to tell you who my ambient... Well, I could never, ever hear one more thing or see them on TV again and never give two shits less would be the Big Show and Kane, because I've been watching them for 20 years and what they're top 5 tenured guys in WWE, obviously, at this point in their careers. But they've turned them heel and face so many times, in the last few years that I really just don't care about them either way. I don't care if they're a good guy or a bad guy because I can't figure out if I'm supposed to root for them or hate them. But the Big Show, and I guess with the rumors leaking this week that he might be retiring soon, I guess, and then he's of course got the premiere of Vendetta, I guess.
Which you can check out our review of from July 1st. Because we got special copies of that, in quotes. And you can check out that review from the July 1st episode of Rock Wrestling Podcast. Spoiler, Vendetta is fucking awesome.
It's awesome, or it can't be any worse than The Chaperone or anything they put John Cena in.
You know what? If you kept up with our movie reviews, The Chaperone and Vendetta are the two best WWE films.
I heard you talk about it on the other one, and yeah, I'd say Shotgun is probably my favorite WWE film.
But the best memory of Viewed, if you haven't heard last week's episode, Immortal Kombat starring Roddy Piper and Sonny Chiba, that movie was fucking incredible.
I heard it. My favorite part of that was talking about Tony Lister's crying, or Devo, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, Devo's the man.
Yes.
Devo as a baby face is even weirder. I don't know.
I would rather watch a feud with Tony Lister and anybody in WWE than to watch a big show. I'd rather watch anything that Devo does at probably 55 years old than
what's
to have
going
to watch
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hope that he can be the next celebrity inductee.
If Devo goes into Hall of Fame, he has to ride the bike on the stage.
I hope Ice Cube shows up to induct him then.
Yeah. I'm actually going to see Ice Cube in like 3 weeks at Riot Fest.
I heard that on last week. Cube, I saw him at the 930 Club in D.C. when I was in college. He's actually a pretty good live performer, and I totally marked out when he was like shaking hands from stage. He shook my hand, so that was pretty difficult. Daz Dillon saw autographs and throwing the shit out in the crowd, so
nice.
Big ups to Daz.
So yeah, Ryback won. I didn't really watch it.
Yeah.
John Stewart cut a promo on Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Which is kind of funny, you know. Paul Heyman, I guess.
It kind of all relates to what happened later on, because he talked about how much he's a wrestling fan and how he hated that Undertaker's streak was broken, and he was pissed off about that.
Kind of two middle-aged New York, you know, Jewish people who have made it a lot farther than what you would think. And I don't know. I don't buy, you know, Stewart coming after Heyman. I don't know. That just seems like
it. I did laugh really hard when Heyman went back in the locker room and was telling Brock. You could hear overhear him telling Brock what just happened. He's like, "Tom Stewart from the Daily Show."
I like that your impression of Paul Heyman sounds like a pissed off Miss Piggy. Kermit, you're gonna go to Suplex City.
All right. So yeah, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. This was a match. Clean pin with the spear by Roman Reigns.
Haven't we seen this feud enough with Ambrose and them, and then, you know, Reigns and Wyatt, and I don't know. Doesn't Wyatt need to start getting some of his wins back after he jobbed to Taker at Mania, which I totally disagreed with. That's another rant for another time. But when are we going to make Wyatt look strong and at least make him look like, you know, he's the big scary heel that's coming after the belt, or he's going to get the belt and no one's going to be able to beat him for it? When do we get that?
I don't know. That's what I get. Babyface champion first.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the next two or three guys in line are all heels. Sheamus is the guy that should be champion, I guess, if he's Money in the Bank. You got Lesnar and Rollins kind of going back and forth. You're right. That's right. We need five more heels chasing the title.
Yeah.
Good point.
So, next up, Cena versus Rollins for the U.S. title and WWE title. What did you think of this match?
I enjoyed the match. I enjoy anything Rollins does. The guy's out of this world athletic. I think it was kind of interesting that he legitimately broke his nose, which, of course, they've played up to an angle. I like the shot. I like the shot in the face and playing that up during the match. Again, I would have enjoyed the match more if not for the involvement of Jon Stewart. Am I the only person watching this when Jon Stewart got in there with the chair that had flashbacks of David Arquette? I feel like a celebrity, especially someone who's not a pro athlete themselves, I could buy Mayweather's, you know, involvement. I could buy Rousey or Lawrence Taylor back in the day being a part of a full blown angle like that. I hate when there's a celebrity that doesn't outweigh me, who has nothing to do really with wrestling, affecting the outcome of a world title match. I could have really done without Jon Stewart and that whole angle overall. But overall, I thought it cheapened it. At least if you're going to hit him with a chair shot, do the hit him from behind or something like that. Don't give me the, you know, the blow to the ribs. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like
that. It was a really, really weak chair shot, but let's talk about how the finish went down. They had it was a typical John Cena of the last 6 months match, where a bunch of near falls, big moves, kick out of a couple AAs. So John Cena has Rollins up for the AA, and he bumps into the ref. Ref goes down, hits the AA, pins him, phantom pin, nobody's there. He calls the doctor to check on the ref, and then Seth hits the crazy knee. John Stewart runs down. with the chair, and I knew exactly where this was going. He looks at Seth, looks at Cena, looks at Seth, looks at Cena, hits Cena right in the ribs. Rollins is with the pedigree onto the chair. He throws the chair out the ring, covers him, 1, 2, 3, and that's it. New double champ.
Do you also hate... Okay, well, let's get into that, too. I was like, do you also hate it's on the storylines? Well, of course, they always contradict each other. But then doesn't that mean the whole angle between him and Rollins a few months ago was pretty much for naught? You know, I mean, I guess they tease it with where he might hit Rollins or he may not. But doesn't that cheapen that whole angle?
Well, when we talk about Raw, John Stewart actually says that he's not he's not cool with Seth Rollins. But
right, of course.
It was more about John Cena.
Yeah, sure. But on the same level, too. I never understand that either, when the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title or anything is on the line versus the World Championship, because doesn't the lesser belt always get held up and usually invites, you know, a tournament for it? So I also don't know why that match necessarily needed to happen right this moment. Would you have let Cena defend it for a little while longer or let the belt mean more when somebody like Cesaro or Owens or somebody, you know, captures it?
I don't think it'll mean any more than it did John Cena having and defending it the way he did for as long as he did.
Where do you see the angle going, though? At least where do you go to see the U.S. title going? What happens now that he has both?
Since they're completely ripping off Ring of Honor, he's probably going to have to defend both at Night of Champions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think the payoff is that he loses both belts in one night?
No, I don't think they're putting the belt on Sting.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So then we had a 9-diva vagina elimination tag team 3-team 3-way match, I think is what it's called. So this match went very long. They eliminated the team that everybody liked early because everybody wants Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks is the fucking best. And so it was down to Team Bella versus Team Paige.
I'm pretty much root for anybody that aren't the Bellas.
Yeah, I think the Bellas are pretty much ruining this Divas Revolution.
If they put David Arquette and they put Jon Stewart together as the top female tag team, if they took on the Bellas, I would say they could win the World Diva Tag Team Championships all day, as opposed to ever have to watch one more match or one more anything from the Bellas. That's another reason why I won't watch Total Divas. Not because I hate the reality and the crap that it is, mostly just because they so heavily feature the Bree and Nikki.
Total Divas is good in its really bad way, and it's fun seeing Naomi and Paige in real life. That's probably the reason to watch Total Divas and see how retarded Eva Marie actually is, because she should get a medal for being so functionally retarded.
This show, FYI, is not a fan of Eva Marie. You make a great point. And then, unless you badly want to sleep with her, she has zero talent or anything to be liked about her.
Yeah. Like, I can understand how you see Eva Marie as very attractive, but if after she opens her mouth, like, I don't know why you would want to put your dick near it.
Yeah, yeah. Once she starts talking, every bit of sexual attraction.
You just kind
of
want to punch her. It's like Eva Marie is an advocate for violence against women because she's that fucking dumb.
Wow, this podcast after hearing last week with you and Jim, I was like, racism, sexism, and violence towards women. I was like, wow, you guys are really pushing the envelope. I don't know if I'm going to get to be on this week.
All right, so Becky Lynch pinned Brie Bella with a pump handle slam. Long, long match. Then my main event, Kevin Owens versus Cesaro. This match was fucking dope.
Indeed it was. Love those two guys. It's a shame that both of them, who badly need wins, it's a shame that both of them couldn't somehow, you know, be on different matches and get a win. I feel like both of those guys need more wins.
Yeah, but Kevin Owens is the man, and he got the win with the pop-up powerbomb because he's been losing on bigger scales than Cesaro has been.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like if Cesaro was going to make it to the top, it was going to happen a year or two ago after he won the Andre Battle Royal, so... He's pretty much solidified. Not that he doesn't still have a shot to be champion and that he doesn't still have a chance to, you know, to move up into the main event or main event, co-main event picture. But, yeah,
Owens is... semi-main event with Kevin Owens. They were second from the top, above the women's match. So they were beyond the death spot.
I still feel that Vince doesn't like Cesaro enough, you know, that he's not good-looking enough. that is, you know, his accent and all that other stuff.
How is Cesaro not good looking enough? He's a smooth European dude with a bald head.
He just went to
fly as hell.
He dresses fly as hell. It's Vince that says that he had no personality. I mean, I'm not saying I like him. I think he's got great personality.
Yeah.
I like seeing a champion that I actually think beat somebody's ass or somebody who knows more moves than everybody else. So totally believe.
So what I don't get is I was looking around on the internet like I do, and there's people talking about how like WWE should push Cesaro and everything. I'm like, Cesaro's being pushed as hard as he's ever been pushed before. Like, oh no, he should be the champion. Like, you can't just give someone the champion and say, here's a push. Like, look at like, for example, Jack Swagger, when they gave him the title, was that a push? No. When they gave CM Punk the title for the first time, when he beat Edge with the Money in the Bank, that wasn't a push. He was wrestling Bradshaw in like the third match on the card. Like, now he's being featured in a prominent role in the mix with like guys like Randy Orton and Sheamus, who have been solidified as main event guys. Let me go. Hold on. Let me finish. He's been solidified in that position with main event guys like Randy Orton and John Cena and Sheamus. And he's in a featured match with Kevin Owens. Fucking 6 months ago, he was barely even on the show in a superstars tag team with Tyson's kid. So this is a much better position than he's ever been in as long as he's been in the company. So how is he not being pushed?
That's how I was going to say. That's how I don't believe it, because you're right. A few months ago, they threw him with Tyson Kidd because they had nothing for either of them. Tyson Kidd, if he wasn't, you know, basically one of the hearts without being, you know, with his last name, I don't even know that he'd still be in the company, even though the guy's, you know, an amazing worker and talent, even though he doesn't have much to say. I just felt like, you know, wasn't he basically the second guy in that tag team in the sense of what they have that feud with the Usos, and Cesaro looked like the stander by, that it was more about Tyson and that, even relating it to Divas.
Much, yeah.
It seems like a few months ago he was just there to be there. So forgive me if I feel like, you know, in a month if something happens that he's going to be, you know, tag team partners, or he's going to be the second fiddle to somebody else who's a lesser talent. But you're right. I mean, the last couple months he's been consistent. He's being featured. I just felt like, you know, a year or two ago when he won the Andre Memorial, and then they put him with Paul Heyman, and then that just fills it out so fast. I was like, wow, they're really killing him off right now.
Yeah. The big problem with that was after he won that Battle Royale, they went into a TV feud with Jack Swagger, which was the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, you're right. You get both with Swagger and you're like, there's not much for me to do.
Yeah. But Cesaro's a man. I think they're seeing that. We just have to hold on hope. Like, nothing is overnight. So Stone Cold wasn't overnight. As much as they would like you to believe that it was, it wasn't.
I watched him as one of the Hollywood blondes and stunning Steve Austin for years.
Well, I mean, like, in WWE lore, it goes King of the Ring, 1996 to WrestleMania 13. There's nothing in between. There's no Savio Vega strap matches in between that. But there were a lot of Savio Vega matches after King of the Ring 96.
Yeah. So you're saying that there's still a chance for Ryback to be world champion with his non-pushes?
I think there is. Ryback could be somebody. Like, Randy Orton and John Cena are forever, and these guys are here. So eventually they're going to have to, like, use what they have.
But how old is Cesaro? Isn't Cesaro mid-30s?
I think he's, like, 32. I can look it up.
I can't imagine Ryback's a spring chick.
No, Ryback's been around forever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you're already in your mid-30s and...
34?
Yeah. So,
not say there's... Cesaro's a freak.
Yeah, he is. I just don't know, like I said, at that level, if Vince is going to say, this is somebody that sells t-shirts, this is somebody who's going to come out and cut a promo for the first 15 minutes of the show, and this is going to be the guy that, you know, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, sells pay-per-views, because they don't really sell pay-per-views these days, but I don't know.
Which is why they can pretty much do whatever they want and see what works.
Like, they should.
Yeah. Like, their numbers are pretty much fixed now. Like, you know what you're going to get every month.
Yeah. I still think there's a lot of guys ahead of them. I still think that Ambrose needs to be champion before anybody. You know, that guy's been doing it as long as anybody, so... I don't know. I just feel like with Ambrose and Reigns and all these other guys that are going to be, you know, in and out of the title picture, I'm just worried that Cesaro is going to keep getting lost in the deck. That's my biggest
concern. Cesaro's in a better position right now than Roman Reigns is. I'll say that. And Roman Reigns is who they want to be their guy.
I'll agree with you. Is it me or every time you watch Roman Reigns, all you can think about is Lex Luger, how they pushed him to the moon with that Lex Express, and they kept wanting him to be the guy, And finally, they just said, fuck it, let Bret Hart go over at WrestleMania 10 over Yokozuna, when in every intention, they probably planned 6 months or a year back when they used to write it a year at a time that Luger was going to be their guy. Am I the only person that sees the parallels in between Lex and how he just was going to make it? To me, Reigns is Lex Luger, you know, 2.0.
Lex Luger had a better entrance than Roman Reigns does. And better gear. Lex Luger will pop that shirt off. Roman Reigns needs to pop off the shirt. Yeah. Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. An old man and a grizzly bear beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes. So if you look up like old man versus grizzly bear on YouTube, this is probably what will come up because that's what it looked like. A lot of mauling, a lot of thrashing and throwing. And
I really like, as a UFC fan and an MMA guy myself who practices, I really enjoy, you know, watching the way Lesnar works at this point of his career. I like the big, I even like that about Undertaker, although I don't find it as believable. I like the boxing. I like, you know, the punches that they throw. I like that the match, you know, kind of began with, you know, Brock Lesnar, like you said, kind of pummeling him, kind of ground and pounding for the UFC fans out there. But yeah, I don't really believe that, you know, it's very believable Taker to really hang around. At times they make him seem old, even in the match, that it's by proxy. But
that's because the fucker is old.
Yeah. A lot of times, you don't expose Triple H, what, is 43, 44 years old. They don't really ever reference. He doesn't ever really look, you know, purposefully a step slower in the ring. But at times, you know, with Mania, you know, especially a couple years ago, they do play up, you know, Undertaker, you know, and maybe he's a step slower and he may not have a lot of gas left in the tank. So I don't really know what the intention was of making Taker look the way he did in that match.
Yeah. But
what do you think
of the finish?
Go ahead.
Because the finish saw Brock Lesnar had Undertaker and a Kimura, and Undertaker's trying to roll him onto his shoulder to get the pin. And so Charles Robinson's checking his shoulders, but on the other side, Undertaker's tapping out on his belly. But we don't see that. We just hear the bell ring, and Charles Robinson's like, hey, I never called for the bell. What the fuck is going on? Heyman's in the ring like, hey, he tapped out. And so Brock Lesnar's looking at the timekeeper and the referee. Undertaker punches him in the dick and puts him in the go-go plata, and Lesnar is fading out and flips him off and then passes out and the bell rings. So referee stoppage finish.
I got a lot of feelings on this match. First of all, so many different things I want to say about this match. Anybody notice that that's Tugboat's kid was the ring bell keeper? Remember Tugboat? That's Brett Ottoman. Yeah, that's his kid. I met him one time at an FCW show, but that was like 4 or 5 years ago. He was only like 18, 19, probably 25. But I'm looking at him, I was like, I know that kid. And then I realized who he was, and later on I saw it confirmed on one of the dirt sheets. But so I guess they're bringing him up for
the main roster. Does Cody Rhodes have that much stroke to get like his wife and his cousin all in the company?
Yeah. Oh, are they related, Tugboat and the Rhodes?
I think Cody's mom is Tugboat's sister.
Oh, wasn't aware of that. Tugboat type.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to, but I guess they'll be introducing him either in a controversial angle. Maybe he'll do that, or he's just becoming a straight referee at the main roster level after being down there at FCW and NXT for years.
Was he wrestling?
He's a referee. He's a referee. Okay. So, referee. But to move back toward, I kind of felt like this was a WCW finish. You know, did he tap? Did he not tap? You know, something like that. You know, what's the payoff of this angle? I don't understand. It seemed like this match
third
was kind
match,
of
I guess at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I guess the buildup is to it. But it's still just very curious the timing to me, because if Undertaker and Lesnar were going to have this, or Taker was going to get his revenge, why didn't he do it a year ago? Why didn't he do it before he did Wyatt at WrestleMania this year? You know, why did we never see Undertaker get payback on the Shield after that powerbomb where they put him, you know, out? That never made sense to me a couple years either. You know, ago. It doesn't really it seems like they just bring the Undertaker back. I hate to say it just to, you know, spike numbers and, you know, attention, but it seems like that's what they've been doing with him the last year and a half here.
Well, that's exactly what and you do with an Undertaker.
Yeah. But it's kind of curious along the same lines when I sent you that text a few weeks ago that I didn't like that, you know, because they've been teasing Lesnar as a babyface going into the match with Rollins last month. Isn't that what they were building toward?
Well, yeah, he was a babyface for that, but.
Yeah, he's babyface. And then, you know, he's got to beat, the champion's got to beat, and Undertaker appears to stop the babyface from going over on the heel.
Well, this is away, more or less a babyface versus babyface feud anyway. Because Lesnar wasn't an all-out heel, and Undertaker can't be a heel because he's such a legend. So it was still pretty much babyface. Clara was split for both of them.
Yeah, he had to hit a low blow, though, tonight, which is generally a heel move. Not to say faces don't use it. Diamond Dallas Page and Roddy Piper, you know, are face parts of their careers. You know, Flair. We're still using the... Flair, you know, it's always been a staple of his, you know, career. But I don't know. To me, it just seemed very oddly placed. Again, it seems like they could have been more creative or found a better way for Taker to regain an advantage to pull that one out. I found the low blow from that perspective to be somewhat unsettling. Yeah, Were you satisfied?
I thought it was fine, yeah. If I'm fighting Brock Lesnar, I'm definitely kicking him in the dick.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, every day. But you and I aren't painted as half undead the last 25 years and unbeatable, you know, one time a year either. So, yeah, that's a good way to neutralize, you know, Brock Lesnar if you're a guy on the street, but not the half-dead zombie. Come back from being buried alive 10 fucking times. You know,
if you were put through a French table and Kimura for fucking 10 minutes and F5'd a couple times, so you might feel like a regular dude on the street at that point.
So let's move on to, and then he collapses, right? Isn't that what's been by every camera? I believe it's just a part of the angle. What do you work or shoot on that one?
I'm gonna guess shoot. I think I don't know if you like died. He was probably just so fucking tired. So he decided to crawl because where he did it, he was like almost pretty much to the gorilla. So pretty much every camera angle that I saw was like angles that he probably didn't expect that he was seen by.
I think it's just them trying to go for more realism with the pipe bomb and all that other stuff. It just seems like a really good work to me, if I had to guess. We could be wrong again with their testing and bringing people back. I mean, I just like they say, Foley didn't pass the concussion test to come back and fight Ambrose a couple of years ago, or you know, Angle or some of these guys when they talk about bringing them back. I don't know, but let me ask you this: I didn't personally need to see a second Lesnar and Taker feud, especially after it's been a year and a half. And same thing, you know, do we really need to see Taker and Sting now that they're both 55? It'd be a cool idea in practice. Wouldn't be a good match. WWE knows that, and that's why they haven't done it. If it was going
to
happen,
I think it would be an okay match. So, I mean, it's just cool to have the match. Like, just fucking do it. Let both dudes do what they want to do.
But I'll say, since it's been a year and a half, it didn't really make sense for them to kind of reopen that feud all of a sudden. And at this particular time, is kind of curious to me. But I'll say more than this: I wasn't that excited to see it, you know, at SummerSlam, you know, the other day. But are you even excited? I don't know if you were going into that. But if you were, are you excited to see it for a third time? Like you said, I guess the only payoff to this angle is that Undertaker wins clean at WrestleMania in Dallas. And possibly. Right.
I mean, not really. I'd rather see Brock in something else. I don't know who you would put him with, but just somebody different.
Brock?
I think they're going to do Rock and Triple H.
I'd rather see Rock and Brock than Rock and Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Rocking anybody I'm cool with. But yeah, I don't know. Like, fucking Undertaker's old as shit. So any match he does is going to be very underwhelming. Like, when I saw him and Lesnar at 30, I just thought it was just a boring match. This match is way better than that match. But it was also fucking unconscious for the majority of the New Orleans match. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And anything can happen in the WWE, right?
Jim Ross always used to say yes.
Hell yeah. So let's talk about the final the trilogy, the Return of the Jedi of this Brooklyn trilogy. So we got Monday Night Raw from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. So they show a pre-tape.
Lots from, of shit. That was my favorite of, you know, I like Raw better than I like SummerSlam, to be honest.
I think it goes NXT, Raw, SummerSlam.
Yeah, from the sounds of it.
Well, like the first hour of Raw, at least. The first hour of Raw was really good. Then it kind of tapered down.
In the last 15 minutes of Raw, which we'll go through. Yeah.
So Triple H and Seth were at the lobby of Titan Towers, and she's looking at the statues, and he told Rollins that tonight he's getting his own statue. And Rollins is so happy that he helped Triple H.
And you heard he was getting a statue that somehow... and. in the history of every wrestling gift ever given, be it an expensive car, statue, picture. You just knew somehow it was probably going to get destroyed.
I was hoping he would get a statue and Cesaro would come out and just fucking press the thing into the ramp or something. Because that's probably like the only person that hasn't wrestled Seth Rollins or had a main event title match that you can do that with, and that can like pick up a statue and throw it.
Yeah.
All right. So Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out and they're pissed, saying that they were ripped off and that Undertaker's a myth. And he's kind of breaks kayfabe about Santa Claus, which I didn't think was cool. Paul Heyman. Santa Claus is real. How the fuck those?
You feel like that should have been left for Bad News Barrett when he makes his return? That he could do that a week before Christmas.
If Santa Claus wasn't real, how did that Optimus Prime get under my tree? That's all I want to know.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Santa Claus, that'd be great.
Yeah, Heyman doesn't blame the referee or the timekeeper.
Heyman's Jewish, so of course he had to do the. Now I think about it. He went into business for himself.
Yeah.
Jewish.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Jews don't have Christmas.
He doesn't like Santa, even if there were one. Spoiler alert.
So they call out Undertaker. He says, we don't want a match at WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, or Survivor Series. We want the match for tonight. And, of course, Bo Dallas comes out, which is awesome. I haven't seen Bo in a while.
You like that? I'd rather watch him beat up a whole bunch of people than Bo Dallas, just like when Bo Dallas did the whole thing with Sting. Are they trying to do with Bo Dallas what they were doing with Heath Slater, where he's interrupting people that can clearly beat his ass, although I like the Legends references. But yeah, like he interrupted Sting. I don't know. I'd rather see somebody else, you know, in a more prominent position come out and tease somebody in a situation like this than Bo Dallas, but I did enjoy the beating that he took.
Yeah, that was the point. All the suplexes, and Paul kept trying to get him, giving him an F5, and Brock kept walking away. And yeah. Paul said, please for me, and he goes ahead and F5s him. And that's the last we see of Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Yeah, which didn't you think there was going to be more from them this night?
I thought so. I thought we would get something. No Undertaker, yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
So the stars of the show, The New Day, come out.
Yeah. Well, Monday night is New Day.
Yeah. So Xavier Woods has a trombone and he's playing New York, New York.
Yes, Sinatra's New York, New York.
Which they retitled New Day, New Day. And it was awesome because he was actually playing the trombone. I didn't know he played trombone, but I guess every black man can play at least one instrument. That's a fact.
Check it.
So they wrestle the Lucha Dragons, and of course the New Day gets the win while Xavier Woods played taps while they were getting hit with their finish.
Yeah,
so they celebrated. Pyro goes off
outside, by the way.
That's right, they were on. They didn't add anything to this match. I forgot they were there.
They would have become more involved or something. But yeah, if you want to go ahead and drop the surprise.
Yeah, so Pyro goes off, boom, 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 Dudley boys come out. I'm like, what the fuck? And so you marked out? Nice.
I was pretty excited to see the Dudleys, not going to lie. Because I thought if they were coming back when Bubba came back at the Rumble, I would have thought soon thereafter that we would have seen at least a one-off match from them. So when that Pyro hit, I thought the door closed when he went back to TNA, I guess.
I thought that was Neville, because Neville kind of has the same Pyro.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what's Neville come out for?
I would have guessed the same, though. I saw the Dudley splash so fast, I was like, thank goodness. And then thinking it's old ECW Stomping Grounds. Great idea.
So, what happened? They put Xavier Woods to a table. Awesome. And they call out the primetime players, and they're going to make their debut on SmackDown.
Yeah.
For their return.
I'm excited. I mean, you know, you were also a tag team wrestling guy. You know, to me, I always thought tag team wrestling, you know, was kind of the second thing before the main event. And especially, you know, during the 80s. And I remember reading Bret Hart's book, you know, he talked about, WrestleMania 3 with Hogan Slam and Andre, you know, and he's like, really, you know, with the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation, he's like, you know, really, everybody was coming to see that match. But I think when people left that night, those were the matches they were talking about. You know, guys like the Hart Foundations and the Bulldogs, Killer Bees, and all those great tag teams of the 80s, and then with the Evolution.
Nobody was talking about the Killer Bees.
I don't think anybody. I was just thinking about other Korean. I should say great, but other amusing tag teams from the 80s and early 90s. But and then with, you know, the Dudley Boyz and the Hardys and Edge and Christian throughout the 90s and 2000s, I mean, I don't know that I was enjoying anybody in the Outlaws as much as I was enjoying those guys. So to me, I've thought for years they should totally revamp the tag team division, and it definitely has a place. It's a great way of breaking new stars. You know, Shawn Michaels is a great example of that. For years, there are guys that, you know, toil and, you know, earn their way through WWE, and finally they break off and they're more believable singles wrestlers, or Edge, for an example.
Yeah. I was always a Hardy Boy guy. Matt Hardy was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Oh, you like Matt better than Jeff?
Definitely. Matt was my guy.
Everything said.
All right. So, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt, a match we just saw 24 hours ago that I didn't care too much about then. Another match where they beat up each other for a while.
I will say, anytime I get to see Harper, that guy is so much better than what you would think when you look at him or see his gimmick or hear him. That guy impresses me every fucking week.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I was a big fan of his in the Chikara days. So, Bray Wyatt's down. Roman's about to hit him with the spear. Lights go out. Boom. Big ass Black Sheep shows up. The new Wyatt. And he beats the shit out of everybody. He just starts throwing around fucking Roman Reigns like a child. Beats the shit out of Dean. Dean keeps coming back. He's Wyatt the Coyote.
Yeah. Who is that guy? Where
is
he?
That is Braun Strowman.
I thought he was Mike Knox for a moment when he took that mask. Did you?
Yeah.
I was like, am I supposed to fucking care that Mike Knox is back now? Since I haven't seen him in a long time, am I supposed to be like, oh my God, that's Mike Knox?
I thought it was Mike Knox. I thought the tattoos looked like gallows. I'm like, gallows? What?
Before he took the mask off for a second, I thought it was gallows too.
Yeah.
But then he took the mask off. Hey, Mike Knox.
Ooh. You're covering your mic again, but yeah. So brand new Wyatt member. They got a new Roman, and this one's much bigger and stronger and has a more appropriate look. He's a big nigga. That is a big motherfucker. Like, he's bigger than fucking Harper. So Miz TV. What did you think of Miz TV?
I will say the only time I've ever enjoyed the Miz is when he was paired with R-Truth. Every time, yeah, I guess I'd rather watch the Divas. The Divas are most people's bathroom break. I love what they're doing with the Divas Revolution if they stay at the course.
They didn't have the Bellas around.
Yeah, other than the Bellas, you know, I don't really ever go to the bathroom. I like the Divas. I find, you know, especially with Paige and Becky Lynch and some of those ladies that can actually wrestle, I think they're great. But yeah, if I have to watch The Miz, that's usually my bathroom segment. Other than when he's paired with R-Truth, they were super entertaining. I don't get what I'm supposed to think of The Miz. Is he supposed to be a mid-card guy at this point? Mid-card guy. And then is he supposed to be an Intercontinental Champion or U.S. guy where I'm supposed to believe he's so credible? Is he a sideshow? Is he going to be in all the WWE movies and that's what they're going to put him toward? He's going to be a broadcast.
He does have Santa's Little Helper coming out with him and Paige this Christmas. Look for that Rock and Wrestling review.
I can't wait for that. But yeah, The Miz, can't stand it. But I like the segment with Becky Lynch and
I thought
Paige.
It was fucking dreadful.
Charlotte. Well, I mean, it could definitely be better, but I could have done without Charlotte that everything she does. We all know that you're Ric Flair's daughter. I think the wooing and, you know, the fours and stuff like that, I think it's a bit much. Personally, I don't know where Ric Flair stops and we're supposed to believe Charlotte is going to be as great as she says she is if she's going to keep doing everything that her dad did. But I did like the reference, a little back and forth between her and Miz about, you know, that he was friends with the father and he showed him the figure four and he kind of went heel there and basically was saying that he was better in so many words.
I think it's a lot of this shit that they were saying was just so inorganic and so like scripted. And then the Bella team comes out and they bicker for a while and then it breaks out to a brawl, which leads into a match with two teams, which goes on way too long and leads to the wave and no one's entertained by this match and it just ends. I don't know who won.
To reference
Nikki, right? Alicia Fox pinned Paige. That's
I gotta say, I gotta find the wave more entertaining than the Bellas or Alicia Fox. I love looking at Alicia Fox. She's one tall, you know, pretty black woman. But yeah, I didn't realize she'd been around for 9 years. Did you realize she'd been around for 9 years?
Yeah, because I think she came in the 2006 Diva Search.
Yeah, I didn't realize she'd been one of them.
Yeah. Bella's also came around that same time, like 2006.
She's been around for so long, but they've never really done anything with her.
I think she won the Divas title once.
Did she? I don't recall.
It was that era of the Divas Championship. That's why.
Yeah. It seems like we talked about really seeing her do anything, and then she just pops back up to be, you know, inserted as like, just like she was tonight with the Bellas. I was like, okay, they need a third woman who's going to be to come out and confront them. She's always just a place keeper.
Yeah. She's terrible, by the way. She's not that good.
Really?
Yeah. She's been around for 10 years, and what has she done?
Yeah.
She can do a good bridge, and that's about it. She's just really
all lanky.
Small. Yeah, lanky. And her on Total Divas is, like, really obnoxious, and her voice is annoying as hell.
Yeah. But that's half of Divas, in all fairness.
Yeah. King Barrett comes out, Stardust comes out, and starts beating the shit out of him for no reason. And Neville comes out and goes to pour a red arrow on the Stardust, and he leaves. No idea what this was. What was supposed to happen? Were they going to have a tag match with somebody?
That's what I was thinking, too, when he attacked him. I was like, well, what were they supposed to be doing? At least tell me that the tag team was coming out and they're going to look surprised and just walk back out or something. It just looked like it was literally set up for him to come up and kick his ass. Which, by the way, does anybody believe that Cody Rhodes could actually beat down Wade Barrett?
Yes, because Wade Barrett loses to everybody.
Another guy that, to me, Barrett and Cesaro are very similar in terms of like their push and who they are and how believable they are. I'm a big mark for Barrett personally.
Really?
I
don't like Barrett.
Cena single-handedly killed his career back then. But even after that, they tried to jumpstart him at times. And I remember they brought him back into that bare knuckle boxer gimmick at one point. I thought they were going to do something with him then. You know, and then the whole Bad News Barrett thing seems like
Barrett has this thing where he'll show up, he's pushed, then he's like, well, he's just a guy, it doesn't matter. Or we should do something with this guy. He gets hurt. He comes back, let's push him. Oh, wait, he's just a guy. We should push him. Oh, he's injured. And a cycle repeats over and over and over and over. And I just don't care anymore.
But yeah, I understand that.
Like his theme song would say, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. But like you referenced
his,
Austin.
His fourth theme song, I believe it was. He's had like 10 in the last 5 years.
Yeah, he's probably had more theme songs than he's had wins lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of like you said with Austin and King of the Ring and how they build people up and how there's, you know, certain steps to it. You would thought that they were going to renew his push with making him King Barrett. And anytime you're a king, you become a very good heel. Usually shortly thereafter. And then he's British, you know, where they still have, you know, king, queen, and that type of setup. So it seemed like a really easy gimmick for him to kind of take over, and that maybe he would run a little bit more with the ball on that one. So I'm kind of surprised.
But no, he lost every single match.
So does Cody Rhodes? Yeah, he just, or Stardust, whatever you want to call him, you know, since he just had the feud with Lamel, does that mean he's turning face now? Or does Barrett become a face? I can't really see why that heel on heel move happened tonight.
I don't know. I just think it's to break up the team that no one cared about. That was only around just for that match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna reference it ever again. I don't think they're gonna have a match or anything.
I guess I'll just.
Wade Barrett's pretty much a pussy, so he's not gonna retaliate.
I'll just have to tune into Superstars to get my Barrett fixed this weekend then.
John Stewart comes out. The crowd chants, thank you, Stewart. He explains that the reason he did what he did was not to help Seth Rollins, even though that's what happened in the end. He couldn't see John Cena tying the record of the great Ric Flair, because Ric Flair is always going to be a champion in his mind. Ric Flair came out, and he said, you're in the presence of God, which is awesome.
Yeah, he was like...
Ric Flair was there, so he was...
It's funny to still say in the PG era... But then again, and while we're on the PG era thing, was the Lesnar middle finger during the Hell's Gate a bit out of place for you the other night?
When you pay a guy a fucking $1 million an appearance, he can do whatever he wants.
Okay, but just from a company standpoint, we can't have the curb stomp because it's not PG in concussion lawsuit.
That seems like they'd be a bit more concerned about a middle finger or something like that. But continue.
Rollins said in an interview recently that he thought that he shouldn't have the curb stomp because he's the champion now and like kids might imitate it, which is true because I did give a kid the pedigree.
Yeah, instead of curb stomping somebody, it's okay if they go home and pedigree their little sister.
Yeah, I did pedigree a kid and have to go to court for it in sixth grade, so yeah, fucking shout out to the clique for that. Yeah, so John Cena comes out and he's pissed off, like, do you know what you've done? I did so much to make this U.S. title important. I'm like, yeah, John Cena, suck it. And he gave John Stewart the FU. So look for that on TMZ. Renee Young talked to John Cena. He said he felt he did what was right, and he would talk to Rollins later tonight. So 8-man tag team match, which is pretty much our de facto main event. Let's talk about what was the team: Ziggler, Cesaro, Orton, and Ryback. Against Kevin Owens, Sheamus, Big Show, your favorite, and Rusev. Despite Kevin Owens being in this match, I could care fucking less about this match. I was already checked out by this time.
I was too. And then by the time I guess you can give the finish, but the play out of it, by the time it got to that, I didn't even care either.
The finish was an RKO out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt did an interview saying, introducing the newest member of the Wyatt clan, which is Braun Strowman, also known as Braun Strowman.
You want to reference that the Big Show got beat up at the end?
Did they beat him up? I missed it.
Yeah, the Big Show, I guess it was Ryback left in the ring, Big Show and Owens. And Rusev and Owens.
Yeah.
Big Show's thrown in the turnbuckle and they both kind of, you know, work him over. So I guess we're to believe that the Big Show is a face and they just kind of
just turn number 37.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I don't believe he's a heel or a face, any of that. I don't. Just WWE, if you do nothing else, you don't have to make Cesaro the champion. Just please, just fucking make me stop having to watch the Big Show. And of course, what will happen now is the Big Show and the Bellas will create, you know, their own stable. So I get to watch all three of them together.
Big Show, Bellas, and Kane.
I don't hate Kane because I enjoy his demon days and he's enjoyable enough even as, you know, without the mask and as a bad guy and stuff like that. I don't like when they're going to – eventually he'll be a face again. I can't buy him as a face anymore. But the Big Show just has no personality to me. And again – Kane, they don't really book him as strong anymore, but I hate that one week the Big Show's unbeatable with that punch, and then the next that he's not. But I was just happy to see him get the brakes beat off his ass and sent out of the ring, so that works for me. That's the happiest I've seen been to see the Big Show in months.
So backstage, we had Stephanie and Triple H confronting John Cena about slamming John Stewart. A lot of Johns in this. And they have security escort him out of the building so he can't interrupt the statue unveiling ceremony. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, always silly anytime someone's escorted out of the building. You know, if you have the power to throw somebody out, I don't understand why they don't throw everybody out every night. That always seemed like a silly thing when they arrest people and they send them out of the building and kick them out. Because theoretically, if John Cena's a pain in your ass, throw him out every week or every time some big match is going to happen. Don't pick and choose when he's going to be a pain in your ass and thwart your evil plan. Because he'll do that shit every week, right?
Well, he did threaten to thwart the evil plan earlier in the show, so I guess it makes sense. So Stephanie and Triple H come out. They sing happy birthday to Vince, who just turned fucking 70. Vince, go home. Go to Florida. Do your thing. What old white people in New York do, move to Florida.
Yeah. True.
The crowd wanted Vince to come out, but Vince wouldn't come out because he hates how old he looks on TV. Triple H did a long speech about how Rollins is a winner and can outwork and overachieve his way to success, and that he's the first man to hold a WWE and US championship. Seth comes out and says he's joining Mount Rushmore. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Shout out to the Sandlot. And today he's immortal and he gets a statue finally. And they go to open up the statue, and who is underneath it but Sting with half his face paint?
Yeah, we knew by that time in the rumors of Sting appearing tonight. I was thinking when I didn't see the statue immediately get destroyed once Cena went home, I was like, I'd bet almost anything that Sting's under that. Which
I didn't know who it could be. Like, someone on Twitter was like, there has to be two Cenas and three Rocks under there to make this worth it or something like that.
What's the exchange rate? It sounds like a conversion rate. Let's make this many Cenas. And I don't know. I did think it was kind of funny. Sting must have been on there for a little while because half his face paint was sweated off by the time they pulled the thing up, right?
Yeah, it had to be really hot underneath that black curtain.
Yeah.
But it was really cool just seeing Sting there. Because, I mean, there were rumors, but you never know. Like,
yeah.
Anything could happen.
I'd like to be surprised from time to time, too. But, you know, after reading so heavily that he might be involved in SummerSlam and the Wyatt match, and then he wasn't, you had to think, okay, well, if they're not going to have Taker on this show tonight, there's a good shot at Sting appearing. Right. Yeah, Sting gets in there.
But just the fact that they put Sting in the main event program was shocking to me. Hold on, yeah. I'm off my headphones. But Sting in the main event program is just weird, just because they feel he's too old to have a feud with Undertaker, but he's young enough to have a main event feud with Seth Rollins for the title. And it was just like, eh.
Yeah, that's the part that I found kind of odd. You know, Triple H, looked at him, looked kind of be in shock, him and Stephanie. And that was the weird part, too, because I wonder where that was going to continue. Because at Mania, again, I disagreed with Sting losing that match, but that's fine. Neither of them really needed the win. But I always thought that Sting's reason for not joining the WWE is he saw Booker T, you know, and Steiner and all those other guys, Goldberg, all jobbed out, and they left being less than what they were with their reputation before they joined. And then it was curious to me that he came in to lose to, if he was going to lose, Taker would have probably been the guy to beat him if they were going to do that match. But that, again, was 5 years too late. But anyways, once he joined, it was curious to me why he agreed to job to Triple H. But then once he did lose that match,
I think it was stupid the way that they, Triple H kind of worked the angle to be like WWF versus WCW when it never was that. So it kind of evolved to the point where it's like, we can't have WCW win this match when it's not fucking WCW anymore, because that company's been dead for over 15 years.
The two guys on the main line, it wasn't Sting versus, you know, Triple H, you know, what was it? You know, maybe Austin versus Goldberg were probably the two guys at the very front of the war. So I thought that was a little, you know, they were kind of grasping at straws on that one. Yeah. But really the reference I was going to make toward Mania was that that after that, you know, feud and the sledgehammer and all that other stuff and, you know, the interference and the cheating and all that, it was weird to me that they embraced and hugged, because I was like, well, you know, Sting's going to come back at Toward the Authority. So unless that was the last time we were going to see Sting, it seemed very off-putting to me, because why would that have happened tonight? Why would a Triple H, after showing respect for him at Mania, now look afraid of him like that bad blood's going to continue, right? Do you find that, like, in a more consistent way of setting that up? That bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But did you watch the network thing that they did? Like, the interview Triple H did with the network?
Right after it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So they're coming back from a gorilla, and they're all pissed off at Sting. And Triple H saying, I should have finished Sting at WrestleMania when I had the chance. If Sting wants Seth Rollins, that's what he gets. Seth Rollins at Night of Champions for the WWE title.
55.
Yeah, but they did announce a match. They are going to have a match for the title at Night of Champions.
Yeah. So. Yeah, is that where we're going with this? Is Sting gets involved in the title picture? Well, yeah, because he's holding the belt up. Everybody was cheering, so that's what we're alluding to.
No, they announced it. It's going to happen.
Oh, they announced it on the actual wall.
Yeah, on that interview with Triple H, he said Sting versus Seth Rollins for the WWE title at Night of Champions. It's going to happen.
Sting win at some point? He doesn't win that match, but does he go on to become champion, oddly enough, in 2 months or 3 months? Or like you said, it's odd to me that they put him in the main event picture and that he'd be chasing the title at 55, especially somebody who's only really been in the company now for about a year or so.
He had one match that he lost, so that gets him a number one contendership.
Well, I guess that has to be contingent. You know, if you come in, you lose this big Mania match to the boss, you know, I'll give you a title run. You know,
I don't know about a run, but he's definitely getting a shot. I doubt he's going to win the title.
Well, where does that go? Is that just to build Rollins?
I guess.
though Rollins wins, and then where does Sting go after that?
Home.
Does he come back again and disappears for 3 or 4 months? And then he, because when if Sting loses that match, when does Sting win? I can't imagine Sting agrees to sign a contract that is all
two Sting or three wrestles or- Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania in his hometown of Dallas and wins.
That match rides off to sunset?
I guess. Or he can hang around. You never know. Sting, he can do whatever he wants.
Do you believe if Sting loses to if he loses to Rollins, I guess it would have to be interference or somebody have to help him out. Do we believe that he's really that credible a threat to Wyatt and the Wyatts and whatever they're doing in 6 months or whatever the time frame is? If he loses to Rollins and he's lost to Triple H, does that kind of take away from his?
No, because he's a legend, and legends can lose and keep their heat.
Maybe this is obviously an unparalleled situation. Where he's come in, you know, and he was kind of, you know, gone, you know, for years, or he was gone from TNA for a while, or really a legitimate wrestling organization, I should say. But it seems odd to me that he'd step in. He's already, you know, 55 years old, and he'd, you know, lose multiple matches, and then I'm supposed to see him as a credible threat. But
who knows? It's just, it's wrestling. They're going to do what they want to do. It'll be cool to see Sting have a match. Sting's a good wrestler, so. It should be fine.
Who are you more excited about seeing from time to time, Sting or Undertaker at this point?
Neither, to be honest.
That's what I figured. So that's why it's funny that you say that about Sting. It's still, you know, cool to see him in this. It's like you don't sound that bothered, you know, about seeing either of them. I'm not. Like I said, to me, WrestleMania is kind of the place to see them one time a year. Maybe they show up. Maybe they're, you know, gone for a year and they thwart the bad guy at Mania. But yeah, it seems weird to me to kind of build the heavyweight title picture unless you just really want to make Rollins look like even stronger.
Right. I mean, it's a big match for Rollins. It'll get a lot of eyes on him, bring in some lap fans. It's cool just because it's fucking Sting. Sting's a legend and they can have a good match.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens come Night of Champions. So are you excited for Night of Champions now that Sting is wrestling Rollins for the world title?
Hard to say. I'm excited in the sense of I was excited for Mania, even with Triple H, and even between them being 100 years old almost between the two of them. But again, you know, the nostalgia and the 11-year-old in me, you know, same way like you say with Undertaker and Sting, we both know it really wouldn't be much of a match. But the idea of seeing it, you know, is still a pretty cool, you know, concept. Yeah. Overall, so you're right. Anytime I can see Sting, you know, in a ring at this point, it takes me back, you know, to the nostalgia in my childhood of, you know, tuning in for the first hour before Raw came on.
Have you seen my childhood?
But obviously, yeah, Sting was my guy. I was a WWF guy. Bret Hart was my guy on that show, and then I'd flip over and see my other guy, Sting, on the show. So yeah, the childhood me still enjoys seeing Sting from time to time. But after the way he jobbed out the Triple H at Mania, that was kind of like, to me, Sting lost a lot, in my opinion, at least at this point of, you know, seeing him on TV. So to me, it's not as special to see him, you know, tonight, to be honest with you, because I know in a month that he's going to be beat. So I don't know.
Everybody that comes in jobs Triple H, look at Brock.
Which makes sense to me, but.
Punk jobs Triple H. Yeah, so.
Just be glad that it did Booker T what he would have said.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's our show. It's been a long weekend of wrestling, so hopefully you guys can enjoy rest because there's no more wrestling until Monday. Or no, there's an NXT show on Wednesday. That's like a 90-minute NXT from Brooklyn. So yeah, that's an
big show. Celtics are on there this week.
That's right. And then there's Tough Enough finale. Who you got to win Tough Enough?
I hope ZZ. Yeah. From the second that I saw Tough Enough, I was like, ZZ, that guy's a wrestler without being a wrestler. He's got all the personality of a 1980s Skinner gimmick or something. I see. He can't wrestle worth a shit, but that's never stopped Goldberg or anybody else from moving up the rank. So yeah. To me, I like ZZ. He's naturally a character. He's naturally entertaining.
He has the hardest thing to get in wrestling, which is a personality.
Yeah.
Like everything else you can learn, but like charisma and personality, you can't teach that.
Right.
What about for the bitches, Amanda or Sarah Lee?
I don't really care between the two of them, honestly. I think I'd rather look at Amanda.
Okay. Sarah Lee has a nose ring, so you know she has an edge.
That's what that, that's what does it for it. Who do you got between the guys?
I'm definitely ZZ because he's from down home, right outside of Thibodeau. Yeah. So definitely ZZ and probably Sarah Lee because I like Sarah Lee cheesecakes and that sounds really delicious.
Yeah, it sounds like the way they give everybody a different name. It seems like they would have given her a different name at least for the show. I feel like that's brand confusion, something WWE would want.
Well, she's not signed yet. Once you get signed, then you get your new phony name.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
That was an argument on Twitter that I happened to be a part of. People talking about, because I typed in Braun Strowman, because my phone doesn't recognize the name Strowman because it's not a real name. And they're like, oh, another person not putting in the R. And then it was like a whole to-do about it. And then when he announced his name on Raw, the guy was like, look, see, he said Strowman. Like, dude, it's a made-up fairy tale fucking name. It's not a real name. I'm sure his real name is Chris Smith or some shit like that.
There's nobody walking around the world actually named Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
Name.
Or the weird two first names that people get, like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens. It's just like, it's made up fucking names. It's not the real names. Who cares? It's fucking...
Got it, Edward Tyler.
I don't even know what... Yeah, that'll probably be my name. But what my second grade teacher called me for an entire year, Edward Tyler.
Edward Tyler, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd probably wrestle as Barry Sylvester Jr.
Yeah.
So that's my dad's name, and that'll be pretty funny.
Nice. Well, I'm working on my heel turn beard here.
Yeah, I can see that. It's very bad news, Barrett.
Yeah. someone's gotta support the Barrett clan. I call myself a Barrett head, so like Jimmy Buffett, the Barrett heads. We're gonna start the Barrett movement, get him over like Zack Ryder was to get him back in the picture.
Yeah, he needs to get a YouTube show first.
Yeah, we'll work on it. It'll be my next project.
But that's pretty much all the time we have for this week's episode of the Rock and Wrestling Podcast. You got anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, bartending, come see me anytime. I fight. Kickboxing should have my next fight. I'm 1-0. Should have that happening probably late September, early October. Same jungle that Becky Lynch occasionally pops into. She trains jujitsu, so that's pretty exciting.
That's cool. Is Becky Lynch cool? You talked to Becky?
I think I held the pads for one time. At first, I saw the face, and I knew I'd seen her, you know, on NXT before, but I didn't know exactly who she was, and I wasn't going to totally be one of those people, oh, can I have a picture or text message? Not there.
Hey, come on, you try to holler at Becky Lynch. She has a sexy Irish accent.
Yeah, that girl is...
deep man voice.
She's prettier in life, though. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you see people on TV and sometimes, you know, you see them up close. She's pretty in real life. Her hair's orange. And she's a beautiful orange haired woman.
She dyed it red now, so.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I like the Fifth Element orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I like it walk up the street under when I see that orange hair flowing, but. Sure.
If you're a TNA wrestler and you're taping out of Universal, hit up TJ Fridays. Say what's up to my nigga Rick, and he might give you a shot for at cost price. And Rock Wrestling Podcast at Podomatic.com is our website. You can hit that up anytime. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podcast Addict, and Pod Directory. The show will come directly to you every single Wednesday. Socialcheckpoint.org/rockandwrestlingpodcast if you want to support the show. We have links for Amazon, eBay, hotels.com, booking.com. Get all your fucking internet shopping while supporting this show at the same time. Kill two birds with one boner. And rockandwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. If you like Rick on this show or you hate Rick on this show and you think you can be a better guest, send me an email and I'll get you on the show. Also at Rock Wrestling PC on Twitter. That's our Twitter. Any updates, you're gonna find them on there. Whatever Rick's Twitter is, he might want to plug that.
I don't have a Twitter, but you can hit me up on Rick Fincham on Facebook. I haven't gotten to the tweet game. I think there's something bigger coming than that. I will say, if you don't like me, though, it's only going to be a bigger part of my beard and my heel turn, though. Oh, and I just got that sweet Money in the Bank briefcase coming from the Shop Zone. So I might be cashing in on you, asshole.
Did you really order that?
Oh, yeah. I got a 25% off, too. So I bought it for like $55 because the child in me needs it sitting in my room and walking around work threatening to cash in.
Nice. I would have at least got the lunchbox so I can have some functionality to it.
I put my tips in there.
Oh, cool, cool. So eventually you're going to have all your tips in there. You're going to open it up like a movie.
Like a nice 80s bad guy in Miami Vice. Yep. Yeah.
Nice. Just put the hundreds on top of the stacks of ones or newspapers so it looks really full.
Rapper style.
Yeah. But thanks, Rick, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure having you on here. Love to have you back on the show whenever you want. So for Rick Fincham, my name is Tyler Black. This has been another episode of The Rock and Wrestling Podcast.